Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Heliostar Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HSTR and on the OTCQX under the symbol HSTXF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Charles Funk. Now, Charles, there are a couple news releases that we are going to get to. We're going to start with the news release from yesterday, September 21st. Headline says, Heliostar expands Aquila discovery to 475 meters with multiple new intercepts from surface. This is all at the Unga project in Alaska. Now, these are some long hits. You also have the high-grade vein that looks like it's more or less in the middle of this Aquila discovery. Charles, take us through these drill results and now, again, the size of this Aquila discovery.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's really exciting news for us. We think we could be into an ore shoot. So we've now hit on four continuous holes and, as you said, a high-grade core with this broad lower-grade halo around it. You know, hole 12 was 18 meters at 1.8 grams. So, you know, a lot of optionality in how we can explore it, but effectively we're in mineralization that's wide open and we've got to step underneath. If you recall, these were RC holes, so the only downside of RC is you can't drill very deeply with it. So we've just got to step underneath and grow it and step along strike and hopefully continue to grow it.
Now, Charles, one thing that really sticks out to me is that the company continues to, especially at this Aquila discovery, hit pretty consistent gold mineralization and also very close to surface, all speaking to that potential continuity of what this asset could be, because again, there is no resource at this Aquila discovery. The discovery really was just made not that long ago. What can you tell us about the continuity of the drilling that you've seen so far at Aquila?
Yeah, there's two zones, and that northeast zone is now in five holes. So and hitting in each and every time. And I think that's what's so exciting about stepping out is I think we're onto a new zone.
What's going to come then? What do you need to do to further, I guess, define this new zone and potentially even get to some resource for this area?
Yeah, the nice thing about this year's program is that, you know, we've arguably hit an economic intercept on every target we've drilled, which is incredible when you think that it's exploration drilling. And so the concept was this sort of framework scale to flesh out the size and the prospectivity of the likes of Apollo, Aquila, and even Zachary Bay, which we'll get to. And then next year we need to come back and just systematically drill underneath. And if we continue hitting underneath at Aquila, then it just becomes a resource drilling project.
So again, some of these results over some long widths and a variation of grade, some lower grade, the hole 13 that was reported yesterday was 0.55 grams per ton gold over 41 meters. But this again started about a meter and a half down. Also has a higher grade area of almost 6 grams per ton over 1.5 meters. That's just 4.5 meters down. What does this all tell you about potential economics at the project?
I think it means there's two ways to win. You know, you might have a broader open pit target, or you still might have the high grade veins, because technically we recognize through things like the gold silver ratios and the way the vein looks that you're just at the top of the system. And we know at Apollo, it's over 500 vertical meters. So we've got a huge footprint to expand on. So multiple ways to win is the key takeaway when you've got the high-grade vein and the broad halo.
Okay, let's also move over then to the September 16th news release. And this is the Zachary Bay area on the Unga project. First two holes that were reported here, these holes were about 220 meters apart. And some of the results being 71.6 meters of 0.44 grams per ton gold equivalent, also 0.34 grams per ton gold equivalent over almost 91.5 meters. Both of these also quite close to surface. What can you tell us about this Zachary Bay area?
Yeah, so Zachary Bay is something a bit different. You know, our bread and butter is these high-grade veins, and that's what we've hit on for most of the summer. We drilled 60 holes, so we thought, let's put two into this target because we had an old drill hole from 1975 that was interesting, and this big footprint of about 650 by 300 meters that just hadn't been well explored and actually is mostly covered. And so we just did the two recon holes with the RC, and as you said, got continuous mineralization for the entire length of both holes and got higher grade sub intervals up to sort of 0.7 gold equivalent. So for two first holes in a porphyry, it's pretty intriguing. Another target where we've got to come back and expand.
Now, what does expanding on this look like? How do you need to attack something so early on from these drill results?
Well, I think there's two things. One is some more of these shallow RC holes is going to be very good at vectoring into the better parts of the system. There's also needs to probably be two or three deeper diamond drill holes as well. So a combination of more follow-up on the RC because it's such a huge area. And then we haven't tested the highest magnetic part of the anomaly. So that's a clear target with a diamond drill rig. So just looking to find more of the high-grade material because that could be a game changer.
So what drew you to this target? Are there any past work done here? What made you guys put a couple holes into Zachary Bay?
Yeah, so we knew that there's a couple of porphyry targets on the property, and in Quintana de Vala, a very good porphyry explorer in the 70s, worked it up and as I said, drilled that one vertical hole. And from our calculations, it was about 107 meters at 0.4 gold equivalent as well. But it's a vertical hole in a vertical system, so it's not a very good way of testing whether what the prospectivity is. There's also, you know, outcropping chalcopyrite, gold and magnetite veins at surface. So from a bit more detailed work, we worked out that there was this big footprint and it just needed more drill holes in it. So it's the story of Unga that it's got all these great targets, but no one's ever systematically explored it. And that's what we think that we can bring to unlock the district.
All right, final question on Zachary Bay. How big does this system look to you guys initially, understanding that it is still very early stage?
Well, the way porphyries work is you get a big, broad alteration zone because the magma comes in and heats up and cooks all the rock around it. And that's big for us. You know, it's a sort of 1 to 1.5 kilometers by sort of 500 to a kilometer in terms of its big alteration zone. The core area that will be the mineralized or potentially mineralized area is looking like about 650 by 300 meters. So we're talking big footprints.
Now, Charles, big picture here. When you look at this Unga property, I realize that there is one resource area, the SH1 area, but we've talked just here about Aquila, Zachary Bay. There's also the Centennial area and Apollo, which has been drilled and we've talked a lot about. What's the big picture plans here to move now after this current drill program into what next year's drilling would look like and potentially, I guess, putting some resources around some of these areas that don't have any resources on them?
Yeah, so the big picture is we think we're sitting on a multi-million ounce district. You know, just, you know, we've drilled as many meters in 12 months as got previously drilled in the previous 28 years. So huge district. And when I say huge, it's twice the size of Manhattan Island. Like, that's a good frame of reference. And it has hardly been explored. And what exploration has been done is just been in that resource area. And so 13.8 grams is a great resource grade. But we think as a district that there's more zones. And that's what we've focused on with Apollo, Aquila, Zachary Bay, Centennial, just to name some of the more advanced targets. And so our strategy has been this framework drilling this year. We're planning to come back and drill Centennial in December. So first of all, we can drill in the middle of winter in Alaska. That's pretty cool. And then come back next year with a more systematic diamond drilling program. And if the geology works for us, then that just becomes a resource drilling program. We've said all along that first goal of 1 million ounces would be huge for us because that comes with a significant re-rate. So that's our midterm goal.
All right. Well then, Charles, in terms of what's coming next from the company, what can you tell us? Give us an update on any other drilling or any other plans at Unga, and then also potentially what's going to happen in Mexico over winter.
Yeah, so we've got more results to come from the SH1 zone and from Apollo, so we'll still have news coming. We've been pretty consistent with news over the last 6 weeks. Then what we're planning is a program in November, December at Centennial. That's the old non-compliant resource that was found in the 80s. We think there's high-grade feeders to it. So the cool thing is we know we're going to hit gold. It's just a matter of how much. And then early next year, we'd love to pivot down to Mexico. We'll just sort of monitor the market, but that's our plan because we've got the ground right next to Silvercrest. We've got some high-grade silver veins right on surface. We've got really good projects that just need drilling, and that's what we've been trying to do and we'll continue to do.
All right. Charles, appreciate the update. Thank you for breaking down these recent two news releases. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get Charles to address those, and we will also follow up on the back of some more news. So, Charles, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey.